It's tough starting this when on a different level. I don't know how to start this. I want to come up with like some like extra like fanfare and stuff. But
I think we should start it the same way.
Yeah,
except for the no AKAs.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children above ages, you are now tuned in to the world's most dangerous podcast. I want all the smoke.
Smoke, smoke.
This is episode 141. 41.
That was 141 weeks minimum.
Minimum 141 weeks. We've taken breaks. We've done this, that, and a third. I am Willuminati, your host. And I am surrounded by some distinguished gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
I got Idol.
It's your boy.
Blunting it up. And I got Jay Thaddeus.
Google me, baby.
Drinking it up. The Google me, baby is definitely going down in history as.
Absolutely.
Like, that can't go anywhere.
No. Google me, baby is pretty much what it is.
And like off the strength, I won't Google you. Like I'm off the strength, I'm not doing it. But it's definitely something where I don't have the confidence to say that shit.
I have to admit, I did Google to see if it actually came up with anything.
And
Thaddy was up there. It was up there. So you can hit the Googles.
Speaking of Googling, we are...
I can't believe you actually fact-checked that.
You fact-checked
them? Of course I fucking did, man. That's what I do. I fact-check shit.
Speaking of fact-checking and Googling, if you haven't noticed already by last episode, this episode, we have kind of swerved towards the fact-checking being more of a topical podcast. We kind of switched it up on y'all. Hopefully y'all are enjoying it. We're definitely doing our fact-checking and... It does take a lot of time. It does take a lot of effort for us to get these topics and get as much facts as we can with these topics. That being said, we are a podcast that is 100% funded and supported by you, the listener. And you have the opportunity to help us out. You can become a patron, a patronite, a patrizzle, I guess. I don't know. You can... As Snoop, I think Snoop says Patrizzle, my nizzle.
Yeah, that's probably what he would say.
You could go to patreon.com/allthesmokepodcast. Different tiers of tuning in. We actually do have extra content for those of you who do become patrons. We have little mini episodes that launch the day after the main episode that are exclusives just to our patrons. And all the money goes back into... the smoke 100%, and hopefully we can get enough from our patrons where we can hire somebody to do our research and our fact checking for us, and all we have to do is quote unquote read off the script and perform it, give you all the facts and not have to fact check, because at the end of the day we are three brothers who live real life lives, and it does take a lot of time, but we take the time for you because we like y'all, we love y'all. So exactly. patreon.com All the Smoke Podcast. Become a patron. Let us know. We'll shout you out. All the patrons will shout you out. You know what I'm saying? See if we get there. But yeah, so how y'all doing? How was y'all weeks? It seems like it's been 7 days.
This was a really good week. For sure. This was a really good week. It was hot. It was really hot. Yeah. Fights was tough. Nice arm break in them tings. You know what I mean? Like it was.
The who? What happened? Who broke their arm? The
fights. It was a UFC fight.
I didn't watch the UFC fights. You got a schoolist. What happened?
No, it was tight. Some dude got his arm broke. I can't remember who. Adesanya retained his title. Mm-hmm. So
Did that Calgary nigga fight too? Mean Hakeem.
Yes,
the Hakeem
Mean
fight.
Hakeem. Did fought. He win?
In the main event?
No, he was in the preliminaries, and unfortunately, he did not win. That is actually my girl's cousin.
No word.
So shout out to me. Yeah, shout out to Mean Hakeem. Yeah, he didn't. It was a ground battle, you know what I mean? And Hakeem is definitely a standing striker. And every time they stood and struck, it was a good match, but you could just tell Buddy had a little bit more of that wrestling. So, hey, man, sometimes you got to have things to work on. You know what I mean? Definitely if he works on that ground game, I think it could have been a different result. He didn't get KO'd or nothing. So
he went the distance, though?
Yeah, they went the distance.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, that's good.
But Buddy just controlled him on the ground a little bit long, so he, you know, he took two rounds because of it.
Oh, shit, I got turned off my fan.
Yeah, man, if you're going to be melting, you're going to be melting with all of us.
My bad.
But it was a good fight, and he fought a good fight, you know what I mean? It was pretty dope.
That's
but like I said, you know, sometimes you got to, I don't know, work on shit. Buddy was a pretty good wrestler, so.
I'm telling you, I can't get into, like, going the distance. What's that, three, four rounds?
Yeah, 3 5-minute rounds. Guy, I'd be dead off. I'd be dead. Honestly, because when you're, first of all, you have, like, you have some adrenaline, but because I wrestled for a bit. And holy, when you're actually trying to exert, like, all your force, it's fucking, oh, man, you're tired in, like, a minute.
Yeah.
Not too many things I could do outside of my desk for 15 minutes. I can't, not too much. I can't walk. There's no what's walk for 15 minutes, bitch. We walking for 5 and breaking. Walk for another 5. What the fuck you mean? Like, you know, especially, no, I can't, you know what I'm saying? You got to give it up for, like, I'm not a huge UFC fan, but you got to give it up for them. They definitely fucking premier athletes at any level. Yeah. If you're in UFC style fighting mixed martial arts and shit like that, you're a premier athlete for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, those guys, I can't even imagine how, I just wouldn't even have the cardio. No. Those guys sometimes don't have the cardio come right. The last round. You could just see them tired and shit. So, and then besides that, I just watch basketball. You know what I mean? Watch my man Kyrie get hurt.
Did he get Kyrie's back? Was it his back?
No, his ankle.
It was his ankle.
And he left in a fucking boot.
Oh, no.
And I don't know, KD can't do it himself.
Was that Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little bit fair. Now they both got, you know, one major superstar.
It's not fair. You know what? I was just saying,
listen.
Agreed. I agree with that notion. I'm not saying it was, but I'm going to say this. The reason why I hate that narrative is because if I bought 3 stars,
yeah, you give up a lot of bench.
Then I don't have nobody else. So if you're coming here with 1 star and fucking like 6 men of the year, 3 of them, then it's not really, it's still, you're still gonna get tuned up, right? So because, you know, you spent all your money. That's the thing with a cat. Yeah.
But although Brooklyn does have some great support off the bench,
yeah,
but it's tough to call him great because, like, it's easy to be great when you're on the court with Kyrie, Harden, and, like, you can
play. Yeah, the floor is so fucking space. Yeah. No one cares about
you. And you can play
you.
With no pressure, right? Like, it's not like you're trying to carry a team. You're like, oh, shoot, I'll take a free layup, no problem. But, and then you score, like, 15, 20 points, and everyone's like, oh, look how good he is. But you're right.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, I watched that. Fucking watched that happen. That sucked.
Are the glory days of basketball over with these super teams now? Like, I remember the days of when, like, San Antonio would win a fucking championship and it would just be through the grind. You know?
Yeah.
Or not the San Antonio. Who's the Spurs? San Antonio Spurs, right?
Yeah, that's the Spurs.
Remember
and they
Spurs
would actually...
with, they would win, but it would be through the grind. Like, they would grind. What's with
Popovich?
Pop.
Yeah, they would just draft their teams. They never really traded to get, like, a superstar or anything like that.
Yeah, they were like the Packers of the fucking NBA, where they just were, like, hard
even
work.
When they had what's his name, Ginobili?
Mm-hmm.
Before he retired. He didn't even retire too long ago. Like, a few years now.
What's the other cast name?
Tony Parker?
Duncan.
Kawhi. Oh, yeah, when they had Kawhi. They had Kawhi.
That's
first,
when he was
right?
the Claw.
Yeah, the Claw. They had him first, right?
Yeah. That's when he was the Claw.
Even then, it wasn't a stacked team. Like, they had a program. Like, I feel like San Antonio's the last program team, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, if you don't call it sports, you know what I mean by the program. Like, that's like they bring people in. And tell them and design the people that they bring in to the program that's already established for that team. And I don't really.
They're
watch
not creating
basketball
a game
much.
Plan around you.
Yeah, exactly.
You're
exactly.
coming in to play your fucking part, and just like on the Patriots, if you do your job, then we go to 10 finals. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Kind of
so
idea.
Is that dead now? Is that dead now?
Kind of. It's pretty super team based.
Is LeBron?
Unfortunately,
but, LeBron that's another reason why I'll say that Popovich is a better coach than Phil Jackson. Because I feel like Popovich did more with less. Phil Jackson, sure, he has like, what is it?
Yeah.
11, no, 12.
Phil Jackson from the Lakers, right? He did the Lakers?
And the Bulls.
With Kobe and them? The Bulls. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got you.
He definitely had more talent behind
him.
Yes. But if you think about it, Phil Jackson, he okay, now I'm going to get fucking clowned all over every social media and my email. When he was with the Bulls, he coached Jordan, right?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I'm thinking back to when I used to watch basketball. So I'm trying to remember. And when he was the Lakers, he coached Kobe, right?
And Shaq, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, keep me honest. He did not build, well, Jordan a little bit, but he didn't really build the team initially around them. He brought them into the program, and the program kind of evolved afterwards around their stars. So it's still a program-based team when you look at the Lakers and look at the Bulls. Maybe not so much the Bulls,
but he definitely didn't do it to the level of Popovich, which is why I think Thaddeus was saying Popovich is the better coach at the end of the day.
Yeah, because he came in and they already had the Bulls. Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were already there. So he came in and built this triangle offense basically around Jordan. You can't fault him. He's still a great coach. He, figured out how to manage superstars like nobody else. But I
don't think he was better than Pop. No.
No, because there is a stretch where I think San Antonio might have been like the most successful sports franchise of all time because they had a stretch.
Pop's been with them for 20 some odd years.
Yeah,
no?
And keep in mind, they went to the playoffs every year for, I want to say, like 17, 18 years. I could be off on that, but it's something crazy. There's no other franchise that's really had that much.
I haven't even watched the playoffs for that many years.
You know what I mean? And they're winning a championship like every 3 or 4 years. So it's like that they're, and with, they did have superstars, but they never had like the best player in the league.
No. And it was never stacked. It was never stacked. They had a program. They had a routine. It may have adjusted this, that, and the third. But at the end of the day, it's something to be said when you have a nigga that does not watch a lick of basketball except for playoffs just because any playoff sport. I tell you right now. I watch playoff lawn bowling if it's on. I love playoff sports.
Yeah, me too. If it's win or go home, I'll watch the shit. If it's win or go home, I'm watching it.
Exactly.
I want to watch someone's dreams crashed.
So if you got a dude like me that doesn't watch any basketball and I could throw out Popovich and the Spurs, he has to be the best.
That was
one of the best, if not the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah, I'm sad, but now it's all Phoenix. I'll stop the basketball talk, but it's all Phoenix, man. Give me Book and Chris Paul. Come on, Book and Chris Paul.
You put money on it?
Nah.
Yeah. I'm not gonna match you on the bet. Like I'll just be like, cool. If you win, I'm gonna be like, cool. I need five. If you lose, I'll be like, cool. I got you.
That's just who I hope wins if Brooklyn don't. And even now, I don't know. I love KD and I love Kyrie, so.
How close are we to the finals? I know the Lakers are out and everybody wants to clown LeBron because you...
After this, it's the two championship games and then the finals.
Who do you think the finals then?
Who's going to win the finals?
Conference.
Well, the two championship matchups, like the West
conference.
League.
Yeah, because it's semi-conference right now on both sides.
Yeah. If Kyrie wasn't hurt, I think it would probably be Brooklyn.
100%. Yeah. Hold on for a second.
Oh, yeah. If Kyrie's there, Harden might be back sooner, pretty soon. They said they're not going to rush
it. Hopefully he comes back sooner than later.
As much as I don't really want to see KD win, I kind of feel like I'd rather them win with their squad than lose and everyone be like, well, they didn't have Harden, they didn't have Kyrie. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah. You don't want to hear those asterisks.
Yeah, I'd rather just let him win or fucking let him lose, but let him lose at full strength.
I follow a lot of black folk on my Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Therefore, I have a lot of basketball friends on my social medias. Basketball fans are worse than underground hip hop fans.
Oh, as far as who's the greatest of all time and shit?
Greatest of all time. You only won because you have this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
Oh, you lost because you, because the other, like, it's like nobody, like, you can't just be, you can't just get a W in basketball anymore. Every single outcome in basketball.
Yeah, like everybody better be healthy. Well, that's why if you hear real analysts speak at this point, they basically are like, yo, you can only play who's put in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So we're not gonna just totally never have a win that's valid. That's only amongst like us niggas who do that.
And I've seen where it's like, so the Lakers are out, so LeBron's out. And people are just losing their shit. Like, I told you he wasn't the GOAT. He ended up as like a non-basketball fan can see what the fuck LeBron has done for basketball for this generation. And now as soon as he's out, it's like, oh, da da da. And like, yo, it's just one of those things where it's like, just let these brothers live and play. I'm at. When I go through my social medias, it's like, shut the fuck up. Enjoy the game. Do y'all enjoy the game anymore?
I'll tell you one more thing. That is people who even say that shit, especially about LeBron or anything, they actually probably know the least. Because anybody who actually knows basketball knows that LeBron, whether he makes it in or not, especially with AD hurt, again, see, there's always going to be the caveats, but yo, that's always going to be the asterisks fucking in my ass. That's why they probably call it that. Because it's all in your ass, but the fucking... But if AD wasn't hurt, then I think they would have been further. Would have been a different story. Like, it's always going
to
be.
I think if AD's not hurt, they go to the finals.
Yeah, me too. I think they go to the finals West too. I'm scared for LA.
The Clippers?
Yeah.
So am I. And that's, Mr. Fun Guy, that's my favorite player right now.
Kawhi?
Yeah, that's where I got the baby.
Oh yeah, what did you do, baby?
But
fuck, man.
Yeah, I'm scared. I'm actually terrified.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not looking good.
My dumb ass forgot to start watching you on Twitch. Let them know that you're streaming on Twitch.
Just to clarify,
why would we let them know they stream on Twitch?
I am streaming this on Twiznitch.
Yeah, nobody listening. Whoever's hearing this on the podcast, like, they're not gonna be able to tune in. So there's no point in me saying, tell them are you on Twitch.
I don't.
But thanks for I need that rack up.
But I don't
need rack up.
I know. Are you saying that LeBron is the GOAT, the greatest of all time?
I'm saying that LeBron is the GOAT for this generation. Okay. I don't know. I just think that MJ is just more of a dog, man.
Yeah. And we already had that conversation.
It's two different eras. We have had the conversation.
Yeah. It's hard to say. It's 100% hard to say the greatest of all time. In A, a team sport, and B, time is still going.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't finished. He's definitely going to be at the top of some records, but I just don't think that he has, I don't know.
You know,
something Jordan had.
I got to very foolishly disagree. In my mind, Michael Jordan will still be better than a guy 50 years from now that's 100% better than him. I'll just never give it up.
Then, hey, no, that's okay. Hey, that's okay. And it's honest. So you got to respect it.
And at the end of the day, numbers or anything like that, I think in sports in general, there's not one athlete that has had the cultural impact that Jordan has had.
No.
I can't think of one athlete that's had that cultural impact.
I was just looking at the fucking uniforms when I was watching yesterday. His logo's on all the uniforms. Like, it's just crazy if you really think that, Jumpman. Oh my goodness.
Nobody's getting shot over all the uniforms. No one's getting shot over a pair of Hardaways, bro.
Like, fuck owning a team. Like, I got contracts with the league, like, and own a team. Like, oh man.
Think about it this way.
He's definitely a cultural icon.
Jordan used to be Nike. It's still Nike.
Still, yeah.
But Jordan is so synonymous of a brand, generations will not even equate that to Nike. Yeah, we used to say Nike,
I wouldn't even
Air
be surprised
Jordans.
If he didn't have. I wouldn't even be surprised if he didn't have some serious shareholder like
in Nike?
Shareholder oh, yeah. interest at this point. Like he had to, because if he wasn't buying shares while his shit was in there
of Nike oh, or Jordan brand,
Nike.
And Nike was even what, Nike? Tennis back then. Nike was like just tennis and something else back then.
Actually, no, Nike like, was more was track and field. Into,
yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Track and field. I remember I was listening to a podcast about it. But at the end of the day, Jordan turned the Nike brand into an urban brand. Like,
yeah.
That's a whole. I think that's a whole minisode right there. I think.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so before we get too far into it, how was y'all week? That was my week. How's your guys'?
Well, my week.
Run it.
I just watched basketball, so let's just start talking about that again.
Really? Which teams did you watch? Anything's going to the finals?
No, actually, but the greatest of all time. No.
I had a pretty dope weekend. Actually, I actually played a lot of like basketball outdoors and went to a little picnic. Nice. Had you know some good family fun. Just.
Ooh, he was picking Nick.
Yeah, did some nice summer shit, you know? Felt good.
Sweet, getting it in. Yeah.
Yo, shout out to the first person who jumps in the motherfucking, into the motherfucking comments or the whatever and talks about how picnics, where it started during slavery when they called us pickaninnies. How you going? Shout out to the first motherfucker that want to hit that fucking rabbit hole.
Oh, wow.
There's always someone in the fucking group, bro. Always.
Yeah. Picnics are romantic, man. End of story.
There you go.
I don't know.
Bro, I won't do it though. You just gonna see me. You ain't gonna catch me eating on the ground with the fucking bugs, bro. No. Fuck out of here. I don't even.
I have to
grass.
Admit, I don't like bugs. So it would. But you know what? I like camping. So when I'm in the element, I can chill. But I overall. Anybody knows me, I don't like
the
bugs.
The only reason I call it a picnic is because we went to Edworthy Park. We sat at like a table, but we didn't like barbecue. We just like brought like sandwiches and snacks
sandwiches
and all that shit. So that's why I call it.
Oh, yeah.
But we
were, so you was like, it wasn't like a fucking you didn't have the blanket on the
there was
ground.
No there was no picnic basket.
No picnic basket. Hey, boo boo.
Okay, I thought he was like in one of them old school movies, you know, where he's
yeah, but I like that shit too. Me and wife
pulls out the
wine.
It pulls out the wine in the fucking the straw bottle.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I do that shit. I do that shit.
The old schooler? No, I believe you. I believe you.
We know you do. You got some.
I have to believe that you're either the most romantic man on earth. Or you eat ass, because if you didn't do both, you'd have no girl. So pretty much you got to do one, nigga. So,
and you definitely wouldn't have no Haitian girl, nigga. So you definitely got to pick something, nigga.
Oh, shout out to Idol for trying to catch me out in social public.
Hey,
I saw that comment.
People aren't even ready. Yo, people aren't even ready for that.
And the funny thing is, no one else will really know what you're talking about. You're like Daddy, you like that one? No, got you
exactly. Why would he think?
That's what you
I saw that. He was probably like,
bro.
He's that bitch's friend. God damn it, no. Yeah, you'll see it tomorrow. Well, trust me, we got tings. We got tings. it was too good. Trust me, it was too good. But,
short but sweet. My weekend was good. Sunday, I think it was Sunday. We took Gabby out, went and taught her how to ride the bike in the park.
Nice.
She had a good couple of falls, which I had to hold in my laughter, because when a child fall off a two-wheeler, that's just hilarious, bro.
Is it really? Well, obviously, she wasn't hurt, right?
No, she's good. Like, a couple of scrapes, okay. Couple bruises and bumps and
yeah, what you always
stuff.
Get.
Like, that's what you get. You riding a bike. I learned how to ride. I learned how to ride a bike in a fucking alley. You know what I'm saying? And this is the 80s. There's no pavement in alleys. But, so it was fun, you know what I'm saying? I think we got one or two more trips out there to get the hang of it and get the nerves nice. Off of her, and then she gone and
when
shit
you
like
can
that.
Ride, man, you're like the wind.
Free.
Like, look at this hair. And I'm telling you, I am not lying. The wind was blowing when I first learned how to ride a bike.
Oh, yeah.
My shit was blowing in the wind. Like, I was just so happy.
And we learned how to ride a bike in the good old days. Well, no helmets, no Willie. Nothing. Setting up plywood that had nails in it for jumps and shit.
Really, really. Y'all niggas didn't have sidewalks when you were growing up? Why the fuck you riding a bike up the alley?
No, we had sidewalks, right? But when I learned how to ride a bike when I was six, we lived in Marta Loop. So riding down the sidewalk in Marta Loop, you running motherfuckers over and shit. You ain't teaching your kid how to ride us down a busy sidewalk, right? So we just went to the back alley behind the house.
I mean, I grew up by Marta Loop. There was definitely some streets, like, there wasn't just the one street you had to go on.
Okay, well, nigga, I was six. I'm giving you what I think my interpretation of it was. All I know was I was in the alley, and I wiped the fuck out a couple of times. Had a boulder in my kneecap. Like, I don't know, nigga. You gotta ask my stepdad. Shit. I was six. I don't know what they had in Marta Loop when I was six. God damn it. Over here trying to clown me. At least I could ride a bike, nigga.
All right. So y'all had good weeks.
I don't know. I'm just starting the narrative. I want to see if it goes.
y'all had good weeks.
Yeah.
We've been doing this too long. Like, we used to just, like, tell stories on each other and shit. Now we start narratives. Yeah. Right? That's when you know the political landscape is getting too thick. It's just like, I'm going to start a narrative about Will tonight.
Thaddeus can't ride a bike because he's been eating too much ass. On the next Inside Edition. Yeah, we 25 minutes into it. Let's hit the main topic. Yeah, that's a good little run. Yeah, let's hit the main topic.
I think on the main podcast, you should cut a little bit of the beginning.
Should I?
I think so.
Fuck it, let's do it.
All right, but it's good for this because, you know, you just chill with the viewers for a sec.
We'll jump into right kicking where it. Thaddeus eats ass, and then we'll go.
All right, so with all the uncoverings of, you know, the school children and stuff like that with the residential schools, I decided that my first topic was going to be about residential schools. So this is some pretty eye-opening shit, exactly what happened and stuff like that. It's pretty crazy. I am going to say that the information I'm about to give you is kind of long, and also I am not an expert. This is just my research. You know what I mean? So please don't, like, yay. And if you do have any contention, man, hit up the comments, hit up people, hit up anything. I'm always down to learn more, research more, but this is what I found so far. So, buckle up, get yourself a little drink, especially if you're listening to this on the podcast. You know what I mean? Get yourself a drink because we got a lot of information to kind of get through.
And it's hot. Get a drink. Get a nice, cool glass of whatever you sip
on. My cup is literally dripping just because it's that hot in here. Like, I almost want to turn the fan on, but the shit fucks with the mic, so.
All day.
I'm going to suffer through it and just,
Thaddeus, you got air conditioning in your spot, don't you? Like, you look mad comfortable.
Yeah, look at him. He's just, nigga's sitting over there looking mad.
I have a fan going.
We're shiny as fuck. This nigga's mad.
I've been washing the grease off.
I got an old ass fucking... class.
So, for the overview of the residential schools, right now, they have been uncovering children at a pretty alarming rate. The current count at the moment is 215 children were found in the Kamloops BC school, 104 children in Brandon, 35 children in Lestock, Saskatchewan, and 38 children in Regina. This is only about Canada because that's where we're at, and that's the research I went into because... I don't know. I don't know if the U.S. had residential schools as badly. I don't know if they did exactly what was done here.
I know that they
had them.
Because we had the so in Canada, we had what was called the Indian Residential School System. Yes. And it was mandatory boarding schools. And sometimes it was from day schools to boarding schools for Indigenous people. Now, I do know that the influence for those came from the U.S., though.
Yes, because that's where they went down, and I think they were called industrial schools or something like that in the U.S. Yeah, they had a different name. And I get into it a little bit later on into the video, but basically, yes, they did go down, and that is where they modeled the kind of idea after one visit.
Yeah.
Like, they literally visited one industrial school there once and came back and were like, yo, this is a good idea. So... in May 2021, the remains of 215 children were found buried on the site of Kamloops Indian Residential School. The remains were located with the assistance of a groundbreaking radar specialist, and it was indicated that the deaths were believed to have been undocumented. The TRC, which is the council they pretty much put together to find the truth, I think it's like Truth Reconciliation Council is what it's called,
yeah.
Has said that it may be impossible... to ever identify the number or deaths or missing children, in part because of their habit of being buried in unmarked graves. It's further complicated by school and government officials who neglected to keep accurate numbers and good records. While most schools had a cemetery on site, their location and extent are hard to determine because most have been torn down, intentionally hidden, or built over. So they're clearly trying to hide
something.
This. Yeah, they're clearly trying to hide something. You know what I mean? So I'm going to start off by just kind of giving a little bit of an overview of what residential schools are. With this, I've prepared. Canada's residential schools were a boarding school for Indigenous peoples. They were created by the government and Christian churches with the goal of erasing Indigenous children's heritage and assimilating them into Canadian culture. Over the course of its 100-year existence, around 150,000 Indigenous children were put into residential schools. By the 1930s, it's believed that 30% of Indigenous children were attending residential schools, and due to an incomplete record, it's believed anywhere from 3,200 to 6,000 children died in their care. So, again, basically, not good places.
Basically, they were set up in order to take the culture and the language away from Indigenous people and assimilate them to, at that point, what the Canadian way of life, quote unquote, was and at that time.
Exactly. The earliest school assimilation efforts began in the 1600s by New France, which were French colonists.
See, even and the just reason to interrupt why, you real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
When they start, like, that's how you know it's fucked up, when it's called an assimilation process.
Yes.
Like, that sounds real fucking xenophobic. No, no, wait, no. Well, no, I'm thinking of, no, what's the, you know, I kind of fucked up on that whole thing. It's not xenophobic. I was thinking about,
I get what you mean, though.
Yeah, what's the name of the alien from Alien?
Alien?
Xenophobe? Isn't it?
The xenophobe. But it sounds like what the alien from Alien does. Like, attaches to your face and assimilates your body.
Becomes, yeah. So, basically, the earliest school assimilation efforts began in the 1600s by the New France, which were French colonists. The reason why I wanted to stop here was because when I was reading about this, they basically, colonization is, they came up with a doctrine that basically said that any European Christian, if they discovered any land that was not controlled by Europeans or Christians, then they could just take it for themselves.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy to me.
And that was,
I
like,
actually didn't know
that. Yeah, the queen, actually, the queen, not our queen now, but the queen and king or whatever, whoever was in charge in Europe, that was their rule. But in order to keep that, someone from that squad, so let's say, Idol, you had a squad that the queen sent out and you found a place, right? And I think it was like 7 or 10 years that you can keep it and assimilate or whatever. But as soon as you leave that, anybody else hear that? No, as soon as you leave that area, someone else from Europe or whatever can float their boat over and take over your shit. So you had to leave members of your squad, like your generals or some captains and shit, or some soldiers there to watch
like
your,
you seen
shit
on Vikings.
Yeah,
because literally they just take it. There was no there was no laws of it or nothing.
And the funny thing about that, it's a whole different subject, but some of these soldiers that they left to watch over their shit said, I don't like the shit that's going on, and went with the Indigenous people. And that's how you had like some of the early like half white, half Indigenous people. And they just like said, listen, I'm done with this shit. And the Indigenous people said, yeah, come on in. They fed them. They fell in love with an Indigenous woman, had kids, and then just, you know what I'm saying? So that's like some cool history there.
Yeah. And the basis of the argument for them to take the land is that they were discovering savage, uncivilized lands that had no ability to civilize themselves. So just, hey, you can already see the mirrors of like some Africa shit, right? They go to nations where they think the people, because of their ways or cultures, look like it's savagery, and they just take the shit, which is crazy.
You guys are savages. Give us this land. It's like, well, we've been here for 10,000 years and been cool. But since we don't shit into pots and throw it into the street, we're savages.
So those earliest school assimilation efforts that began, they were rejected in the beginning by Indigenous peoples who refused to leave their children with missionaries for long periods of time. At that time, they were associated with the diseases that were devastating the indigenous community's population.
They're just putting two and two together.
Again, sometimes when you kind of go back in history, it's interesting the different narratives, because when I remember learning about this, it was almost like they just came and gave them like infested blankets and they just used it and died like this so dumbly. But when you actually delve into some of the history, like these people knew that there was foreign disease. Like it wasn't just like, I don't know. Sometimes yeah. I feel like history's painted like so clueless of certain people, right? Like they didn't know shit, but they actually did know shit. And a lot of this shit was done by a lot more force than you think.
Oh yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
Residential schools didn't crop up again until after the War of 1812. With the threat of American forces minimized, because the Battle of the 1812 was when America tried to expand up into Canada, and so like the British and like the indigenous peoples kind of banded together to fight them off. So with the threat of American forces minimized, indigenous communities no longer were seen as allies, but a barrier to permanent settlement. So basically once the war ended, then they were like, well, shit. Now you're the only thing standing between us and us owning this shit. You know what I mean? So the system had its laws enacted before Confederation. And that's when... And Confederation's interesting because that's when it was like Canada was formed, right? Like there used to be like Canada, New Brunswick, and PEI. They came together, made Quebec, which is probably why so much legislative power is held by Ontario and Quebec, because they literally fucking started the shit. And then it expanded out to like Alberta and all that stuff. Like the 10 provinces and 3 territories you see are what came from that confederation. This is also why the government won't apologize for the schools in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, because they are saying that basically we weren't part of y'all when that shit happened. Yeah. So that's why if you ever hear them refusing to take responsibility for those, that's why. In January 1879, Sir John A. Macdonald commissioned a report on industrial schools for Indians. And I'm sorry about any of the language I use if I say Indian or anything like that. This is literally the acts and stuff they named it. I will try to say indigenous people as much as I can, but if it's the name of an act, I'm just gonna say going Indian. That's what it was, right?
You're going off of what's documented still.
Yes. A report on industrial schools for Indian and half-breeds, and it made the case for a cooperative approach with the government and the church to implement aggressive assimilation mode, as seen by Ulysses S. Grant, which was the U.S. president, right?
So the U.S. president.
They went down, they came down to here, checked out their schools, and that's what they were doing, aggressive assimilation, and they decided to kind of copy that model. In their research, they only visited one residential school and then submitted the findings that the best way to assimilate indigenous cultures was with the kids in a residential setting away from their families so they could be kept in constant civilized conditions. Her findings were corroborated with others that chances were low that they would ever civilize adults, and so they had to start with the children. Right? So they were basically like, yo, the adults are never going to change their ways. They're never going to change shit. We can't do nothing. So let's start with the kids.
Let's start with their kids. Let's kidnap their
That's
kids.
That's horrible. That's like when you just...
It's one of those things where it's like, at that time too, they're like, oh, we need to protect our children. Our children are our most valuable commodity. But at the same time, they're like, we need to take their children and figure out a way we could take their children away from them so they don't learn and can further their own culture, because they felt like the indigenous culture was a detriment to the survival of Canada.
Well, yeah, because if the indigenous people band together and don't want to give up land and shit, right? Which, I mean, I'm surprised it wasn't a lot more barbaric, but I guess you didn't want to, because like we're talking about in other days, like older days, like Genghis days, they just kill everybody. So this they were still trying to find ways to swindle the shit.
Crazy. They did slaughter a lot of Indians. Indigenous people. But it's funny to hear like this kind of like attempt at kind of like civility. Like, okay, we're not going to slaughter them. We're just going to, you know, brainwash their children.
Yeah. So to start with the children, the goal was to have them lead a different life from their parents and cause them to forget customs, habits, and language of their ancestors. So in 1883, they approved the first of three industrial schools. In 1894, amendments to the Indian Act made school attendance compulsory for children aged 7 to 16. The introduction of mandatory attendance was pressured by missionaries reliant on school quotas to secure funding. So just like now with prisons or anything you want to talk about, it's always about like these guys were like, well, shit, we need more kids in these schools. And yep. So to secure funding, right, they pressured shit to say, yo, kids must go to school. And if there's no school near you, that's when you were kind of relegated to go to like a residential school.
Schools. Yeah, you're getting shipped out.
So they cooperated with the church in hopes to minimize costs by only worrying about the capital cost of the buildings and not the administrative costs. So part of the reason why they got with the church was because they were like, well, the nuns and the, or not the nuns, but like any of the clergy or anything there, they'll do it for free as long as they get to preach their message and do their thing, right? Mm-hmm. So all we have to worry about is buying the schools and then they're supposed to maintain them. So in the 1930s, government officials recognized that it wasn't financially viable to continue and didn't meet the intended goal of assimilating and training children to be part of the European Canadian society. But the church resisted and suggested intensification instead of restructuring. So at one point they said, hey man, these schools aren't even making a lot of money. They're not doing their job. And the church was like, no.
The church was like, no.
We need to fucking run this shit harder.
Mm-hmm.
So from that, between 1945 and 1955, the number of First Nation students in the day schools doubled from around 9K to 18K. The growth was accompanied by the fact that the Indian Act in 1951 gave federal officials power to establish agreements with the provinces and changed from an assimilation residential school base to integration of Indigenous children into public schools. So at that time, the Indian Act actually did try to pass acts that were like, okay, fuck, cut the assimilation shit fully. If they want to go to regular schools, they can.
They can, yeah.
But despite this policy change, the removal of Indigenous children from their families continued into the 60s and 70s, thanks to that to an addition in the act, which still let provincial laws be in place on reserves that weren't protected by federal laws. The change included monitoring children's welfare and with no requirements or special training on recognizing the lifestyles on the communities they entered and would assess the children on Euro-Canadian values that deemed the traditional diets of game, fish, and berries inadequate. So basically, explain it.
Yeah, I was going to say, they come in and say, well, what they're, you know what I'm saying, your value, so like you just said, the game, fish, and berries, stuff like, so what you're eating, that's not sustenance for a child, it's not healthy for a child, that means the child's unfit to stay here, so we got to take them. But keep in mind that these motherfuckers and the children have been striving and been strong as hell
for hundreds of years or however long, right? Like, that's just crazy to me. This period resulted in widespread removal of Indigenous children in what they called the 60s scoop. Children were taken and adopted to white families. Despite the name, the 60s scoop started in the late 50s and persisted into the 80s. It is estimated they took over 20k children and didn't end the practice till the 80s.
This is the 60s, late 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Like, I'm at home.
You understand what I'm saying?
Like mid 80s, I'm at home watching cartoons and shit. And this is happening.
Ghostbusters, and they kick in your door and say, nope, your kid has to come with us. Yeah. Now.
Not being taken care of and shit.
You're not eating the sugar cereal and these processed foods and da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
Gotta come. And you're still speaking your native language? Gotta come.
Yep. The last residential school controlled by the Canadian government was the Gordon Indian Residential School, and it closed in 1996.
Crazy. 96. Wu-Tang dropped an album.
I'm the oldest of y'all. That's not even their first album. Their second album.
Not even their first album. Like, their second album. Came out.
Because I'm the oldest of us here, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the fucking club.
In 96?
Yeah. You were in there in 98, 2 years older. This nigga acting, he's like, 96? I didn't I'm see the inside the of a club to the 2000s.
Head. I don't know. What is I don't this? Know why you, I don't know why you're getting aggy. I'm just doing the math in my head. I'm trying to figure shit out. That's all.
Okay.
But 96 really seems like it's early, bro. Yeah. I'm sorry, but it really seems early
fuck
as fuck.
You. Guys, like 1 year before you, and you probably snuck into shit. So you were probably there with me. I ain't have no fucking fake ID. I didn't look like nobody. So I couldn't even borrow a brother's or some shit. I had to wait. Anyway,
I just went to Spaguchi's, nigga.
Yeah, I went to, well, yeah. Because if you walked in like you own the place once in a while, you got in there.
Yeah.
But, closed in 1996. It is estimated that the schools reached their peak in the 1930s with over 80 schools open and about 17,000 in attendance. Over their lifespan, it said that there were 150,000 children admitted into residential schools. So this was a widespread program that they pretty much used to, like Will said, assimilate and take away culture from children. Genocidal shit.
And it was accepted across the board. It was swept under the rug. Like, it's literally Canada's dirty little secret.
Yeah. And it is mad dirty.
If you look at it, this is the reason why the Royal Canadian Mounted Police were created.
Yeah.
For... of not just the residential schools, but just to have this impact on the Indigenous people. You know what I'm saying? It's one of the main reasons why there's a whole, like, if you look at the Indian Act, like, the, if you just look on Wikipedia
yeah.
and read about the Indian Act, you're like, this is motherfucking,
this is evil. This is evil shit. Like, I don't know, but sometimes I try to wonder, like, but what was it like if, like, if you truly thought they were savage, or do you think that was an excuse? I toy with that. You know what I mean? Because you have to remember, we're talking about the 1600s, so there's no genomes yet. And actually, to tell you the truth, when you go back to some of those earlier times, like the 1600s, there actually wasn't even black and white. Like, that's a construct. Like, you were either Irish or Danish, and I was this tribe or that tribe. Like, there wasn't, like, a black unity. There wasn't, like, so all these constructs, man, like, well, it's crazy.
I can tell you right now, well, I can't, I was going to say a statement that is so outlandish. And
but while you think about whether you should say it or not, I just want to say Majestic Botanical said, cultural genocide, easiest way to take out an entire people, take the children.
100%. Shout out to Majestic Botanicals, you 100% right. And the easiest way to let your people, because you can't say that everybody in Canada was a horrible person.
No, just like abolitionists in the States, there was probably plenty of people who were against all this shit.
Oh, yeah. But a lot of the good people accepted it. And the easiest way to accept cultural genocide, the easiest way to accept children being snatched from their house and everything like that, is to dehumanize who you're doing it to. And to lay the label of savages, to say that Indigenous people are scalping people and that you subhuman someone, right?
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the scalping wasn't the Indigenous people. If you look back at and do your research on that shit, it was actually the Europeans that were scalping Indigenous people and using those scalps as like the generals or whoever the warriors, warriors, become soldiers and shit like that, right? So a lot of stuff was put out there. The same way they talked about how African niggas got bones in their noses and be boiling people alive and da da da. It's like, yeah, you dehumanize someone, you really make it easy for society to accept the evil shit you do to them.
Okay, so here's a little thought experiment that we could just do. And I don't know, this might be a far-fetched example, but sometimes I do try to think in this frame just because I do want to take everyone's experience into account. And that is... what if they came up with some sort of contraption that let animals talk? And animals were basically just... No, listen to me. I know, but just peep it.
I'm listening.
It's just a funny thing to hear like, right off the bat.
Yeah, okay. And say they were like, yo, we don't want to be pets. We don't want to be slaves. We don't want to be bred. In 100 years... We are going to look like fucking animals, man. They're going to be like, yo, they used to keep them in cages and beat them and make them fucking eat the same food. Like, that's kind of why sometimes I'm like, well, I wonder what their experience truly was at that time. I wish we could get a true account. Like, did they really think they were...
Isn't that shit kind of happening now? If you look what's happening with SeaWorld and you look at what's happening with all that type of shit. Like, I was watching... I can't remember the name of the documentary, but it was a documentary about SeaWorld.
Blackfish.
And, Blackfish, thank you, and the one in Vancouver.
Yeah, that was really dope.
And it was extra dope. But yeah. I've never empathized for an animal more
than those dolphins in a cage. And now you're like, holy fuck.
It's like crazy, right? And that's why, where it's like, okay, well, we all have had or will continue to have pets. We love animals.
Yeah.
But... I was having a conversation with Gabby the other day where it's like, you need to let this cat live, mm-hmm. right? Like, not that she's going to kill the cat, but she's smothering this cat. This cat is,
the
and
kid.
I'm like, this is not your, the kid loves
she's
the cat.
A kid.
She's a kid. She's 8 years old. You look at her arms, it's full of scratches. I'm like, Gabby, yeah. you're the only person I know that will hug a cactus and yell at the, just love me yeah. while you're squeezing the cactus, right? I'm like, you got to let the cat go. And she's like, she's so cute and da-da-da. I'm like, I know, but if you pick a flower, it's going to die.
Yeah, you got to.
She didn't get it.
Yeah. Not yet, because she's too young. Yo, there was a meme. I think I got the meme for next week, but it was like, the way kids pick up animals stresses me out.
It does.
Because like, they just be like grabbing by one leg.
No, so Gabby's not that bad. She was when we had Oakland, she was like that. And we had to teach her how to pick up the cat. Because as soon as she grabbed the cat, it was like by the face and just like, I love you. It's like, whoa, calm down. What are you doing? Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now she's gentle with her and everything like that. But it's like, it's far too much, right? Like, if you see the cat sleeping and chilling, it's not your time to pick
this
thing
exactly.
up.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to. It's almost like, you can't let the shit rest.
But from what you said, we love animals. We treat our animals very well. We love these little furry pieces of family. But if you think about it, still, they're still our captives.
Yeah.
This thing eats
if you open
the
fucking
door, it's gone.
You may never see that cat again.
No. You know what I'm saying? She actually got out and like...
But a cat and a dog.
That's why I said
May.
That's why I said may, because sometimes they do, sometimes they
cats
don't.
Cats like to come home.
Sometimes they don't.
There's cats that leave and have a whole nother family.
Yeah, life
of
and
humans
shit. Like you, they
that
just
they
got
hang
two.
Out with for weeks and then come back. You're like, where the fuck
must
are you?
Must be a
you?
Nigerian
they all
cat.
Fed.
Yeah, yeah.
They trim. They still got. They must be a Nigerian cat.
But
or a ocean cat. But
when I so now we kind of get into the dark shit. After we got into a little bit of the history, and that pretty much is where I'm going to run over the conditions of treatment. So this part's
the conditions.
This is where you
this
really
is the deep,
hear.
This is where it gets deep.
This is where it gets deep. So residential school students were subjects of a ton of abuse, both physical and sexual, from teachers and administrators. They suffered malnourishment and harsh punishment that would never have been tolerated in any other school system. Several recall being beaten or strapped. Some shackled to their beds. Some had needles shoved in their tongues for speaking their native language. Corporal punishment was often justified by the belief that it was the only way to save souls, civilize the savage, or deter runaways, whose injury or death sustained in their efforts to return home would be legal responsibility of the school. Students had their hair cut short, dressed in uniforms, given numbers, and their days strictly regimented by timetable. Boys and girls were kept separate, and even siblings rarely interacted, which further destroyed family ties. Overcrowding, poor sanitation, inadequate heating, and lack of medical care led to high rates of tuberculosis and influenza. To secure funding, sick children were often admitted into the schools, which only exacerbated the conditions of the schools themselves. During one physician's visit, they found over 50% of the children had tuberculosis. In one classroom, they found 16 ill children, many near death, but they were still being forced to sit through lessons. Government medical inspector P.H. Bryce reported that anywhere from 47 to 75% of students discharged from residential schools died shortly after returning home. School deaths were common. While the actual total remains unknown, research by the TRC revealed that at least 3,200 children died, but it could be as high as 6,000. In one school, the death rate reached 69% in a five-year period, man.
And you got to look at that. They're like, well, it was they were sick and da-da-da. They're not killing the kids, but then it's like, well, but they're letting them die.
Yes, and not telling the families. If everything was all good and it was just like a true plague, why wouldn't they just contact the families and say, yo, let them gather remains, mourn their dead? Like, to just hide it and throw bones in the backyard?
Bro, I have a cool question, though. Crazy. What prompted the search for that recent discovery of those bodies?
So, in that TRC, the Truth Reconciliation Commission, they've been kind of doing some searches and stuff like that of the areas. I did have a little blurb here. It was way back in 2007 that the TRC, after unearthing some of this, because they knew that there was unaccounted for children, right? There was still people looking for their children. So they understood that it would need its own group for these searches. In 2009, though, the TRC requested $1.5 million in extra funding to search sites, but it was denied. So they had to raise their own money with this radar expert to find this. And even now, I think they're denying
even
to give them funding to search every, because they want to search every site. And but they're not getting the funding. But now I think the wheels are turning now. Like, people will fucking give money. Like, you know what I mean? It said, for the most part, the cemeteries were documented and abandoned, disused, and vulnerable to accidental disturbance. So when they were like, well, can we go into the cemeteries and try to find some of these kids? The government was like, no, no. They were just abandoned and unused. Like, just trying to sweep this shit under the rug. Right? Yeah. So, back to some of the conditions. Both research and the final report by the Truth and Reconciliation Committee relayed evidence of several scientific experiments being run without the students' knowledge. They included nutrition experiments, vaccine trials.
Oh, shit. Remember, I posed that question, and remember we had that argument. I'm like, Daddy just knows, because look at him. I'm like, it's like one of those things where it's like, can you blame colored people for not trusting the new vaccine? Even if the new vaccine is 100% trustworthy, can you blame them? Especially when we're talking how this shit was going on in the 60s.
Yeah, like, it's not that old. Like, my mom was like alive and shit. Like, it's not like this was generations ago.
You can have a coherent conversation and a beer with someone who survived a residential school to this day.
Yes. Oh, plenty. Yeah. 96 guy. I was in the fucking club.
Right? You were. Popping just bottles, me. Listening to Raekwon.
Just me.
In the club in 96.
I was alone for 2 years.
I was reading my Bible and going to fucking
for Gucci's
mass, bro. I didn't go to the
no yeah, doubt. This nigga is rolling blunts with Bible paper. It's also said that the I don't know. It is also said that the Canadian government scientists performed nutritional tests and knowingly kept some students undernourished to serve as a control sample. So just to not feed and starve kids for your fucking exam? Oh, man.
As a control, what's our control in this experiment, Dr. Hitler? Well, let's not feed Dave. And see what the results of an unfed child is. Like, this is one of those things where it's like, and you're a doctor. This must have been before the Hippocratic Oath or something. Or the Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah, there was a Hippocratic Oath. They were still fucking drilling holes in people's heads for headaches and shit.
Yo,
okay, maybe not in like the 60s, but I'm talking about back in the day.
Should I take this Anacin? Because I feel like Anacin is what you would take in the 60s, because that's an old ass.
Yeah,
drug.
Who takes Anacin? No.
You don't need Anacin here. Come here. Just drill a hole in your head. Let the blood out. It's okay. You got demons in your head. So that's all you need to do. Don't take an Anderson. Who was it? You know what, though? Side note, I can't remember who it was, but I clowned the shit out of him because I think it was my dad. And my dad was like, I think he had like a headache. He's like, you run to the store for me and grab some Anderson. I looked at this thing, I'm like, did I do what?
What the fuck, selling Anderson?
the sad shit is, you having a heart attack? You need to chew two of them? Get the fuck out with the Anderson and shit.
The sad shit is that shit must have been like discontinued in like 80 because I actually remember Anderson a little bit.
Anderson.
I never took it, Anderson, but I remember like the joint. I remember it.
I don't know if I ever took it, but I remember Anderson's, yeah.
Yeah. Parents and family members would regularly travel to the schools and would often even camp outside in hopes to just observe their children. So many made the trip that Indian Commissioner Hayter Reed, you know that name.
Oh, you ain't pressed to chime in.
Hayter.
As soon as he said it, he looked over at us like, they say something. And we waiting for you to say something like, say something. Name is Hayter Reed.
There's no better name than Hayter for fucking anybody who does this shit.
Hayter
Reed argued that the school should be moved further from reserves to make visiting more difficult. Like, what a fucking devilish guy. He objected them returning home during breaks and holidays because he believed the trips interrupted the civilization of the attendees. Mm. When visitation was allowed, it was strictly controlled, similar to that of a prison. You weren't allowed to speak in anything but English. And parents who couldn't speak English were not even allowed to talk to their children. The obstacles were only made worse by the pass system, which was also introduced by that fucking Hayter. Without legislative ability, may I add, the pass system restricted and closely monitored the movement of indigenous people once they left the reserves. So, go on.
I'm just thinking out loud, like, this is diabolical.
Yeah.
And I think I know me and you have said, I've said this to you before. I don't know if Jude was on the show when I said this before, but systemic racism is brilliant. Because this worked. Their ultimate goal worked. You dig what I'm saying?
They did.
And just because something is brilliant doesn't mean it's good. Don't get me twisted. Get me wrong. I'm not saying it's a good thing. Trust me. I'm 107. My girl's native and I have native blood. I have native family members that are like pure indigenous and shit like that. And it's one of those things where like this is fucking pure evil. But yeah. If you think about the implementation of this and the grand result, it was a brilliant plan that went through. And like I'll say it once, and I said it before. You cannot blame people of, I don't want to say minorities because we're not, but you cannot blame people of color for the mistrust of the government, regardless of what fucking year it is. Education change and whatever the fuck may have people trusting more, mm-hmm. But if you have an old indigenous man that survived residential schools. That saw what and his brother died in the residential school and da da da. You can't blame him for not trusting the government.
Yeah.
You can't see the state of the indigenous culture in Canada and look down on them because that systemic racism in Canada, it may be different, but you see the results of systemic racism in Canada. You can't say shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But there's my little blurb.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So next I'm going to get into a little bit of the instruction and part of what Will was saying, definitely some of the systemic issues that definitely have carried on because of it. And mm-hmm. I know that, you know, the idea that some of this stuff doesn't exist also is like ridiculous. But most schools operated with the state goal of providing students with the skills to gain employment after graduation, but many failed to do so. Many graduates were unable to find a job because of the poor training. They were severely underfunded and often relied on forced labor of the students to maintain the facilities, and they would pass it off as skills training. Instead of actual teaching, they focused on prayer, manual labor, and agriculture, woodworking, and domestic work such as laundry and sewing. Many students attended class part-time and worked for the rest of the time. The work was also involuntary and unpaid, and many of the schools couldn't actually afford to run without it. So again, you have almost like a prison complex yeah. type thing.
This is child labor and slavery. Where they're just straight
fucking use. It's it's ridiculous.
So who's gonna jump into the fucking chat and talk about indentured servants?
Nobody.
I want to throw a fucking. I'm gonna throw my vape at a motherfucker talking about. Well, I'm telling you, Irish kids were selling. Get the fuck out of here. Get. Bro, like, even, like, and I'll tell you right now, even reading through this, like, when we did the research for residential schools and how it was here in Canada, I feel bad even bringing up anything about slavery and racism.
Honestly,
in the States.
Like, when you're in Canada, you just shut the fuck up. When it comes to certain things, right?
Like,
but Canada
black
did
man,
have slavery.
Like, I don't say shit. Exactly.
Canada did
day,
have slavery.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't get it twisted.
I think they called them.
Look at.
Servants, they had a nicer term. Yeah,
but
now whenever anybody tries to even bring up the indentured servant argument, I just have to remind them that when they brought black people, they purposely put Irish people ahead of them just because they could not be as bad as the black people. So they were allowed to own land, have families, all that shit. And then their servitude only really lasted for 7 years. It was extradition. But anyways, unless but you were war but, captive. And that happened in all.
But then you look at what happened with this. And it's like, not to compare anything. Because I feel like as humans, we always want to like add comparisons just so we can get a better understanding of something, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you add comparisons, you got a black and white shit and that kind of muddies the waters. But even when you think about that's why, and I feel like this is why natives and blacks, like in Canada, at least from my experience, the kinship is deep as fuck. Like I had a motherfucker come up to me. I was asleep in my mama car after school, my feet out the window. This native cat came, tapped my foot. And asked me for some change. And I just checked my mom's little change thing in the truck. Gave him some change. He looks at me. He's like, you know, you and I are brothers. I'm like, we ain't brothers,
Easy.
Bro. Like, you get the fuck out of here. Da, da, da. And he's like, we're brothers. If you look at our history, we're brothers. And doing my research for this, that same, like what he said came back. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, bro, like, I know exactly what this motherfucker means.
Yeah.
We brothers. If you look at it, like, I hate to say it, but in some cases, the KKK in Canada treated niggas better than Canada treated
natives.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I kind of disagree with that. I feel like natives in Canada got it way worse than blacks in Canada.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying.
So, yeah.
No, that's my point. That's my point. They got it way worse.
Maybe even worse than the slaves in America, in the sense that at least slaves were valued as product. Native American and Canadians were just obliterated, and they had no worth.
There was an actual quote that I had read when I was doing a lot of research on this, and it was someone who basically said, like, the only reason why the natives weren't indigenous people weren't slaves was because spiritually it would kill them. And so like they just weren't good slaves. That's
and
the
we
only
had that
reason
shit taken away from us.
Right. Like
taken away from us over.
For some reason with indigenous people, when you enslave them, it breaks their spirit differently and they just couldn't.
That's crazy.
They just didn't. That's why they just couldn't do it. That's why they couldn't do it.
But it's like they still home too. You know what I'm saying? They still home. Where it's like we got separated from our home. You know what I'm saying? But there's a lot like, and this is some things I want to, not a lot of when researching the resident schools that I could find to get into, because it's not the path I went down for researching and getting up. But a lot of the, you know, the black Indians.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that had to do with how Canada treated natives and how they saw, because word got around before the internet, how they knew the U.S. was treating niggas and Canada was treating niggas. And there was that kinship. It's like, yep, come, let's go. Like,
yeah,
come with us. Like, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of, and the reason why a lot of black folk felt comfortable there, because the spirituality of indigenous cultures definitely struck a chord with some black folk too, you know what I'm saying? So it's just looking at it, and of course drawing the comparisons and whatnot, but just looking at how Europeans treated the original people, whether they brought them here or found them here, is real crazy.
Yeah.
Past Europeans. All the Europeans I know now are cool as fuck.
Yeah. But so getting back, getting back to some of the instruction here, with so little time in class, some students had only achieved a grade 5 education by the time they turned 18, and then they were sent away. This severely hampered the development of children, and many were
sent away to like back home, or were they sent to like work.
Once you turned 18, it was over with. Like, there you go. Thanks.
Oh, so they're 18. So they with a grade your 5 education.
Yeah. And they still sent you away.
Your language, your culture, and anything that would help you survive when you're back home, exactly, away from you.
And many
dumbed
were just,
you down and then sent you back.
Yeah, and that is something I get into in the last section here. But many were discouraged from pursuing further education. School books were taken from non-Indigenous schools, and the teachers were poorly trained. Returning home was equally challenging because kids were sometimes kept from their home for up to 10 months at a time, and in some cases, years. Since students were punished for speaking or practicing their traditional language and rituals, they would often return home, and it was challenging due to an unfamiliarity with their own culture, and in some cases, an inability to even communicate with family members. There was no indication that the school attendees had any better financial success than those who didn't go to school at all. One father of a pupil, after his son had been gone for 5 years, explained, "He cannot read, speak, or even write English. Nearly all of his time was devoted to herding and caring for cattle instead of learning a trade or being otherwise educated." So they fucking forced you into these schools to try to make sure that you got what they called a civilized education. And because of the way they were ran, you got the opposite. Mm-hmm. You got a worse education than it is if you didn't go to school at all. You were disenfranchised from your home. You didn't even know how to speak to elders or anything. You barely knew your rituals. You had been punished for speaking your own language.
That was 100% their goal. It had to be their goal.
It was.
It had to be their goal. It can't be like, oh, well, because they fell by the wayside or they were underfunded or that. This had to be their goal.
Yeah. So the last section I'm going to get into. Sorry.
No. I actually just wanted to wait till you're done your whole thing before I. Because I wanted to touch into one of the questions that you mentioned at the beginning, but I didn't want to jump the gun. So.
Oh, okay. Sorry, but I told you it was going to be a long one, okay. I know. So the last thing I'm going to go into quickly is just the lasting effects of some of these residential schools and some of the stuff that it's done to the community and the people. The last federally controlled residential school closed in 1996. 96! I was in the club. Anyway, schools operated in every province.
In the VIP section.
So as well. He was sneaking in.
You
looked 18. Stop it, nigga. Schools
I still don't look 18. What do you mean?
All right. Schools operated in every province and territory except New Brunswick and PEI. They were subjugated to forced enfranchisement, where they were stripped of their indigenous identity and the effort to assimilate. What it produced was graduates who could no longer fit into their own communities, but still suffered the same racist views from greater society. Ultimately, it served its goal. Survivors of residential schools and their families have been found to suffer historical trauma with lasting effects on the transmission of indigenous culture between generations. A 2010 study explained historic trauma passed on intergenerationally has translated to a collective experience of cultural disruption and a collective memory of powerlessness and loss. A sample of survivors showed that 50% have criminal records, 65% have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as major depression, anxiety disorders, and borderline personality disorders. It's also been devastating to their language and culture. They were strapped and forced to eat soap when they spoke their own language, and even though students knew little to no English or French, they were still forced to try to speak it. Traditional spiritual activities were also banned. Upon leaving, some even felt ashamed for being indigenous, as they were made to view their traditional ways as ugly and dirty. Of the 90 indigenous languages that still exist, all are under serious threat of extinction, with great-grandparents being the only speakers of some of these languages. With the continued failure of the government to prioritize programs that teach and preserve these traditional languages, they ensure they ensure the original desires of eradicating their culture would be fulfilled through systemic neglect. So, damn. Even to this day, they refuse to, because of course, whenever you try to speak about money or reparations or anything, mm-hmm. they just wild out, right? Like, they just act like you want something that you didn't earn. You got to go earn your shit.
You know, but even different from like how slaves want reparations, and like how a lot of people like will say, I wasn't there for this. 96, right? Like 1996. Like, this wasn't like
you were,
this wasn't like, you know, your grandparents' grandparents. This is like your parents.
Well, Canada,
or in some cases, like your age group, like people in their 60s, 70s were alive during this time, right?
Mm-hmm. Ida was in the club.
I was in the club.
But Canada did give a form of quote unquote reparations where, at a certain age, there's a lump sum that's given to some if they have their treaty card or whatnot. I don't know the whole details of it. So if I'm wrong, please somebody keep me honest. I'm going off of just loose.
No, I believe here. That. You get that payoff when you're 18. Yeah. You know, the best time to give somebody a lump of money for their future
is when they're 18.
Right when they turn 18. Everybody knows that. I mean, you're not into the club or clothes or girls or cars or spending money or getting drunk. You're totally focused on your future and investing.
And even furthermore, like you said, Ido, most of these people are 18 with a grade 5 education. So you give basically you're giving like a 10-year-old, you know.
Well, yeah, and some of this as well, they gave them land and things like that and quote unquote the reservations or whatnot. But you got to think about it like you're giving what you call reparations and tax exemptions or whatever, but you're giving reparations to, like you said, if you have a grade 5 education, you have not instilled the knowledge of how to maintain this money that you have or to cultivate it into more, to sustain a family, to sustain your land, to do anything like that. And it's one of those things where it's like, you have PTSD, we introduced alcohol to you, we molested you in these schools, you watched your friends die, this, that, and the third. I'm going to give you $30,000 because it's going to come back to us in the next couple of years. You know what I'm saying? So, and reparations is such a finicky slope. I feel like reparations is a whole fucking episode because I don't feel like niggas should get reparations. I don't feel like niggas should get money. I feel like niggas should get land and knowledge. I feel like niggas should get land and then free schooling on what to do with that land. By someone who has land and what to do. Like, it's one of those things. I think that's a whole fucking thing. But the reparations thing.
Yeah, unfortunately, just lump sums. To me, it feels
like it's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, lump sums, just giving money to people isn't really what worked. That's why I feel like you have to help and instill programs and, like, try to, like, encourage them to, like, know their languages again and shit. It's not like, if the society lost it on their own because they evolved or whatever. But when you systematically stole it, crushed it, and killed it, I don't know why it's such a bad word to fucking link people back with what you stole.
And you know, like, I really agree with like the original idea of reparations of like 40 acres and a mule, because it doesn't really just say here's cash, it says here's land,
Here's land. Because they knew that's like, what was fucking valuable.
Yeah. And
that's what they knew it was.
And
that's what they knew was valuable.
Exactly. And I think when I hear a lot of like Canadians, you know, kind of bitching about how natives get, I wish I got $40,000 when I turned 18. That's actually cheap. Because if you really gave natives, you know, what they deserved, the rest of us basically wouldn't have anything. But if you really taught them, like, no, you actually own this land, you shouldn't be, you know, subleasing it to anybody, you shouldn't be, you know, just...
If they gave natives what they deserved, we should be paying them rent.
Basically.
Yeah. Well,
we should all have a native landlord.
Even for some of the things that they kind of enacted in the beginning, it like they were supposed to be getting profits for some of these businesses that were being run on the land.
Oh, man. All the promises were broken.
They just
broken.
Didn't give them shit.
All the promises were, they promised. Yeah. Actually, the initial kind of like reparations was a great idea. They just didn't really follow through with any of it.
Yeah.
Well, as you're talking about, like, well, if you look at the Indian Act, like, it was... The initial idea of reparations, just that one small section, was a great idea. But if you look at what's before it and what's after it, they really didn't get anything.
No.
And it's one of those things where it's like, there's a lot of indigenous people that's like, no, I'm not going to get my treaty card. Why? Because then the government owns me. There's like so many different things behind that where there's people that won't get it or people that do get it and don't want it. Like there's so many... I was looking into that. I'm like, I'm not even going to be able to talk about residential schools because this is, the history of Canada with Indigenous people is seven episodes.
Yeah, it's an episode. But the last thing I did want to say about like sometimes reparations and just how people view them and like, well, I didn't do it. Nobody's going after you, mm-hmm. right? Like they're going after the government. who enacted this shit mm-hmm. and these motherfuckers print money, so don't be worried, no one's coming for your pockets, no one's
but
trying
you know,
to take
some
your
people
money
are, some that's taxpayers money that it does like but as a taxpayer have you really missed taxpayers money like
anyways.
To be honest, everybody's like, well, my like, you know, people yell at cost, like my taxes pay for your wages, da da da, like, but have you missed that money? Yeah. Like, you pay taxes all the time. Have you really missed taxpayers' money?
All we're saying is that put some from these programs and shift it to different
into
ones.
Different
to
programs. To
solve the damage you caused. Like, it isn't like we're just, like, the community's in trouble. No. You fucked up a community.
Do we need $5 million a year to get blue rings around Calgary?
True that.
Can you put $5 million a year into the, not fuck reconciliation, I'm talking reconstruction of Indigenous culture?
Yeah.
So then what do you guys think even could be done at this point then?
Shit.
It's such a step-by-step process in my head.
Yeah.
I think the first thing that needs to be done is kind of like the acceptance of responsibility, which I think the Canadian government just falls a little short of, you know? Like, they'll be like, yes, we acknowledge these things happened, but it wasn't really our responsibility, you know, or...
It was the old government.
Like,
no, they do. Yo, I'll tell you one thing, man. And even when they said they brought up some of this stuff back in the early 2000s, it only resurfaced because I guess a lot of the original plaintiffs are, like, dead.
Mm.
So I find that that's almost kind of a strategy at times. And that is that you put people off and deny it until the shit's crazy old. And then you're just like, well, that was the old days.
Well, isn't that...
Like, that, they've done that in numerous situations. That's what they fucking do.
Isn't
right?
that the old saying where the old generation dies and the new generation forgets?
Yeah.
Isn't that the saying?
Because they do that. Just like even, again... Bringing it back to any community that's been fucking like that. It's like 40 acres and a mule is what you're supposed to get. But when you were first freed, Jim Crow, you ain't getting shit. Fuck you. 100 mm-hmm. years later, they're just like, are you guys still really bugging us about that debt? You know what I mean? It's like, yo, man, if I fucking die, my great grandkids might have to pay my fucking credit card bill. So I don't know why all of a sudden they're just like, oh my God, are you guys really still bugging about that? Yeah. Like, it's just so fucking ridiculous to me.
And it draw it out to the point to where the government just feels like an apology is good enough.
Right? Well, because it was a long time ago. That's the strategy.
We accept responsibility.
You sweep it under the rug. You say it didn't happen. You say it didn't happen. And then 100 years later, you're just like, oh, sorry about it.
And even furthermore,
apologize during an election.
Trudeau's kind of like just said he wants the Catholic Church to make an apology. He's like, don't worry, guys. I got this. Hey, you guys want to apologize to these guys for the shit you did? It's like, I know we funded everything, but you guys did all the work. We just paid you to do it. So it's more your fault.
And that's my question. Should the Catholic Church apologize? Because, A, sometimes people want apologies because it's all they can get at this point. You know what I'm saying? It's like all they can get at this point is an apology for someone to take responsibility. And it's been so long that you're asking, let's say the Catholic Church or the government to apologize, and they're more than happy to apologize because A, it's not something that they believe in now, and B, not something that they had to deal with back then because this is a whole new government.
So what, why is it so hard for them to apologize?
So,
because I heard the Pope said he was not going to apologize.
Because once you apologize, then that pretty much is an admission of guilt.
Of guilt.
And then once you admit guilt,
then you're responsible for reparations
come. Exactly.
And
now at what point, like, if you're a Christian,
and it's one of those things where it's like, should the current Catholic Church admit guilt for this one section? Because it wasn't the Pope or the Vatican or anything like that that sanctioned these churches. It was people operating and
missionaries and shit.
And saying it's in the name of the church.
Yeah.
We don't know if the Vatican was like, So now it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, because we all know things done in the name of this that is not this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can say, well, but I mean, the KKK operates in the name of the Catholic Church. Well, Vatican.
Yeah,
Vatican,
you can't just blame. I agree with you there. You can't
KKK
just.
Is not
you can't
Catholic
blame anybody.
And they have nothing to do with the Catholic Church.
Not Catholic, but they're
no. But I get what Will said.
But they operate under
yes,
God.
Yes, but the different.
Because they believe it's a divine
right. The difference between this
you
is
can't
the Catholic. The Catholic Church is a recognized organization, and any church operating as a Catholic Church does owe a responsibility to the Vatican. So it's much more systemic, and it's not just ideologically based. It's very business and politically based from the Vatican. You know what I mean?
And so when these things were happening, it's a good bet that the Vatican was not fully aware of what was happening within there. If they were aware,
100%. But at the same token, if you as the Vatican have a chapter of your business in another country, you are still responsible to either.
For that chapter.
You have to manage them.
So basically, it happened under your watch. Regardless if you're responsible for it or not, you should apologize.
At least on behalf of the organization.
On behalf of it, because it happened
not
under
on
your
behalf
watch.
Of
you're not saying that I condone it and I did it myself, but you have to say, unfortunately, we were not good enough to either vet the right priest or put up the right system. And we
control of the reins, the fucking...
Yeah.
So, since our time is running short, I want to get to I got two more little questions. I read an article, and it was pretty whack. It was about some dude who, he actually was trying to lay out a case for the fact that these deaths could have been natural, and that people were tripping out, and maybe these were just true deaths, and we're all kind of overreacting. Do you think that these could have been regular deaths?
Even if they are, they could have been regular deaths. That's not the issue. The issue is why are they then hidden and not
That's my exact thought. Why wouldn't you tell the family so that they could come collect the remains and fucking mourn their dead and whatnot?
Because I don't suspect they was just walking around the kids putting a bullet in their head and throwing them in there. And I know there was like misconceptions that it was a mass grave. It wasn't a mass grave. These are individual graves, unmarked or whatnot. But at the end of the day...
Oh, it wasn't a mass grave. It was individual.
No. It was individual. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't a mass grave. So it wasn't a whole bunch of kids just in the
So they didn't
hole.
Just throw kids in a pit. It was probably like they said, oh shit. Timmy had tuberculosis, died, didn't
have,
like you know.
Said, 69% of a school had tuberculosis.
Yeah.
The survival rate of tuberculosis, the survival rate of that specific
TB.
Disease, TB,
I said that's what they truly call it as a short form, TB.
I thought you said say it again. I'm not.
I was helping you.
But, yeah, in the 1930s in rural Canada was not large, so a lot of these kids died, and they probably, there's probably a lot of apathy towards a dead indigenous child. B, back in those days, man, they were probably lazy as fuck. Oh, don't put that one on there. It's just da-da-da, whatever. Like, yeah. Just another dead kid, just dig the grave, put him out there, rah-rah-rah. Nobody's going to miss another dead indigenous child, right? Yeah. So at the end of the day, regardless if it was natural or not, because I'm sure there was some deaths on the hands of these people.
But like you said,
that's not the fucking point.
No.
You know what
I mean? Agree. And the guy who wrote that article, I did find that was like crazy insensitive. Like, holy shit. We're talking about unmarked.
Was he clickbaity though?
Huh?
Was he clickbaity? Like, what was the title of the article? Like, I feel like someone who wrote that is real clickbaity. Like, I'm gonna real fucking pissy pants this.
I think it was actually in a real newspaper too, because it was an indigenous person on my timeline posted it and was like angry about it. And I was like, yo, they've been doing that since the beginning. Don't fucking sweat that. You know, trying
like something owned by the CBC.
Yeah, it must have been. And the last question I have, because we are at the end of the time. Should we approve funding to immediately search all residential school sites, or should we let sleeping dogs lie?
I feel I think funding should be allocated for this under reasonable, I don't want to say supervision, but under reasonable provisions, really. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I sometimes things like this happen and then people like, we deserve all the money in the world. That's not, I don't think that's the answer, but like, this has to be taken a step forward. You can't just be like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you have to at least do some searches, I guess. I feel like searches are warranted, like, but again, I agree. I don't know what they're going to do at this point. It's just going to be a ton of kids. None of them are marked. Fucking everything's mixed up.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, 2020 and 2021, the way the world is, it's kind of like everything we walk on has been built over an Indian burial ground. You dig what I'm saying?
I do.
It's poltergeist right now.
You know what? I was waiting as soon as you said.
It's fucking poltergeist right now. Listen. Skeletons need to come out of the closet. I really truly feel in order for something to change, it needs to be broken down.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the funding and everything needs to be there. And there needs to be 100% transparency. And I don't think we need to expose it to, like, Chris Nutt said, it should still be exposed. I think it should be exposed, but I don't think we need to expose it to chastise old Canada. I think we need to expose it to build new Canada. I think this is a perfect opportunity for our country to stand apart from almost every single country that's around now to be like, listen, we fucked up. May not have been us, but the organization I represent right now fucked up. So we're going to take this step to start a new beginning.
Yeah. And give closure.
Get closure. We may not be able to identify all these and be 100% transparent. Be like, yes, this is what Canada did, and this is what Canada is doing to let the world know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but it's one of those things where it's like, yo, Canada, just tell us where the bodies are buried. We promise we won't get mad. Promise we won't get mad. Okay, here, we're burning this shit down. You know what I'm saying? I do feel like it's the perfect opportunity for Canada to step all the government to step all the way up and be like, listen, someone's got to take ownership for this shit. Let's put that funding in there. Let's find these kids. Let's dig them all up, and then we'll go from there. I truly feel like yeah, but I don't think it needs. But I'm really, really, really adamant on not using it for laying blame.
Yeah, or like fuck the blame game. Well, yeah, I mean,
fuck the blame. We know who's to blame.
Yeah, we already their know blame's that, so. Already assessed. Let's just get closure for families, and let's just get the real shit out so we can all be clear on the atrocities that happened.
Let's build a new Canada now. Let's build a new Canada. If Canada wants to live up to that image, let's take these skeletons out the closet and let's build a new Canada. You know what I mean?
Word. What's that thing?
It's fucking sweaty in here. What do you think?
It is.
Though?
But
actually, you don't. You know what though? You don't have to answer shit. You read that whole shit. You went through that whole shit.
No, we all said it. I said I agree. I think they should fund it and give closure to the families.
Mm. Yeah. So, 100%.
But thank you. That was my first presentation.
That was awesome.
On the smoke. I know that shit was long. I'll get much better at it. This week one. I do like the new format, man. I do like the research it also made me do. I feel like I got more knowledge on a subject.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when you listen to a podcast, that's the point.
Are we doing a 15-minute mini-sode?
Should we end this?
Sure. Did we end up doing an album review? Did we pick something?
We didn't even pick one. And we could do a mini anything, but I'm turning this fan on, and hey, whatever.
Yeah, fuck my editing, nigga. Fuck my editing. All right, so
I don't know what to tell you.
I will lie. I
really don't, but
otherwise.
See?
No, editing, your editing, your fucking audio is already trash already, Thaddeus.
That's what I figured, too.
Your shit's already weird.
I'm sorry. It needs to be on for at least a minute. Oh, my God.
All right, so let's wrap this up then. That has been episode 141. I Wanted the Smoke. I think we're gonna call it Canada's Dirty Little Secret. As far as where you can find us collectively, www.iwantallthesmokepodcast.com, smoke pod on Twitter, _ I Want All the Smoke on Instagram, and you can become a patron. You can help support your friendly neighborhood podcast and help us get better. So patreon.com/allthesmokepodcast, select a tier and sign up. We appreciate it. If you are on Apple Music, Stitcher, or any other podcast platforms that allow you to leave comments or reviews, definitely let us know how you feel about the new format. Comment, review. If you don't like it, give us a 1-star. If you love it, give us a star that you deem appropriate. We appreciate that. The more reviews that we get, we'll definitely shout out some of y'all people too. Chip. And individually, where can they find y'all?
You can find me at Idol on Facebook, Idol on all streaming platforms, at Idolverse on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch.
Jay Thaddeus, I want you to give him the famous one-liner in 3, 2, 1,
baby.
Yeah, and you can find me at Willuminati on all streaming platforms or Linktree. Look for Willuminati. That has been it for I Want All the Smoke podcast. Gentlemen, stay recording. We're going to count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then we're going to hit that mini episode and just give me the one file. Cool?
Get up.
All right.
Okay, I don't even know what we're doing.
Just don't stop recording. I don't know. We'll just talk. We riff it up. We're good. Or maybe I'll take the beginning of this and turn it into the end of that.
Yeah.
Bless. Oh, well, all right, Chris, that's it then. We're good.
We can get out. But before we started, Majestic Botanical says that was dope, guys. Thanks. Love the new format. And Chris Nut said heavy topic today. Love the new format. Very informative.
Bless. Thank you very much, Chris Nut and Majestic Botanicals. I love the fact that they watch. Let me ask y'all a question right now since you're there. Do you listen to the podcast on podcast streaming platforms? Or you just watch on Idol's stream? I'd like to know. I'd like to know what they feel about the audio and the listening of it as well. Like, do people watch it, listen to it as well? I know
Majestic listened to it for a long time before we went live, so.
Majestic be popping up in my streams too. I thought Majestic was a bot for the longest time.
Oh, really?
They always in my streams, not saying shit. I'm like, this must be a bot. I'll still shut them up. Listen and watch. Well, we appreciate that, Majestic Botanicals. Thank you very much. So with that, I believe that's it. So I'm gonna hit stop on my thing and we'll go from there. Episode 141.